Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome to Good News. This is Deacon Al Lundy from the Peoria Diocese, and happy to have you with us again for another episode of Good News. We're going to be speaking about the readings from the Mass and doing some reflections on that, talking about life in general and God's influence on that life and our influence in becoming stronger Christians and helping others to grow in their faith as well. This is almost the end of Easter, but today, this weekend, we recognize one of the great saints of our church. It's hard to say one of the great saints because we have thousands of really great saints. These are canonized saints. These are people that the church puts on its official list of the people we believe, the souls that we believe are in the presence of God, in the beatific presence of God. And the saint that we celebrate this weekend is Father Maximilian Kolbe. And one of my favorite stories, I mean, there are so many great saint stories, and there are so many great books available on the saints that I really recommend if you want some, I think, interesting reading, really fascinating readings, go to a Catholic bookstore. We've got a great one in town over on College Avenue to Dwelling Place and pick up a book on the biographies of the saints. And you'll certainly find Kolbe in any one of them. This is a Polish priest, a Franciscan priest, who was arrested and held prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp. And some other fellow prisoners had escaped. And in order to dissuade others from trying to escape, the guards and the commandant decided the thing to do would be to pick out 10 men out of the group of the prisoners, and starve them to death. What a wonderful world we live in, where people would do that to each other. The brutality of man against man, and you look back at the time of Christ, and you see the crucifixions, and you think, how horrible. At least we don't do that anymore. Well, then you come forward to the 20th century, and we're using starvation. We're starving people to death just to teach others a lesson. And you think, well, how brutal is that? How can we get any worse than that? Well, turn on the news, guys. Look at what's going on in Chicago. Look at all these pointless deaths of gang members shooting people up in the streets, just shooting them dead. And it's happening in cities all over this country. We have to find Christ. We've got to start treating other people as we want to be treated. We can't go on with this kind of senseless violence. But we're going back to Kolbe now and World War II, and we see the same kind of senseless violence going on at the hands of the Nazis. And so they pick out the 10 prisoners, and they're about to lead them off to the starvation cells. And Kolbe speaks up and says, "Let me go in that man's place. He's a father and a husband. I have no family. You're just looking to kill people senselessly, so take my life instead of his." And the commandant said, "Sure, we're good with that." And so they swapped places, and he took the place of the husband and father, and he went off. And while he was in the starvation cells, he led prayer for the other men that were also dying. And what tremendous faith that even under those conditions, he's able to turn to Christ for comfort. But even more so, what a great example of Christ himself, of laying down your life for another person. Jesus said, no greater love has someone than to lay down their life for a friend. And here Kolbe is willing to lay down his life for someone he probably really didn't know that well. I don't know if you can say they're friends, but certainly just another human being doing the most he could do to help another human being. And we're all called to that same level of faith. Now, hopefully, you'll never be required to give your life, but the question is, would you be willing to? Would you be willing to? If it came to your life in order for the right thing to be done to another person, would you do that? And I know a lot of people say, when they're not actually in the situation, it's easy to say, oh yeah, yeah, I'll raise my hand on that one. You can count on me, I'll do that. Yeah, do you really see that happening on a smaller scale in your life? Because if you're not doing it on the smaller scale, you're not going to do it on the larger scale. Are you looking at things and saying, you know, I've got enough clothes. I don't need that new, expensive pair of shoes. I've got plenty of shoes. I'm going to give that money to the poor instead. I don't need that video game. I got lots of other video games. I could do better things with my time. I'm going to take the money I gave to the video game, and I'm going to give that to someone who needs that money more than I do. If we're not willing to make the small sacrifices, we're not going to be willing to make the big sacrifices. Would you leave your job, your income, because your boss was asking you to do something or your job was asking you to do something unethical or immoral? Would you make that sacrifice that rather than see someone else be cheated or something be done, unethically, would you make the decision to walk away? That's a slightly bigger sacrifice than giving up the money from the new shoes, but it's the same idea of sacrificing self, of doing things that are really uncomfortable, really, really uncomfortable, only to help someone else. And here I see in Colby someone who was perfectly willing to make the greater sacrifice. No doubt in my mind that he was willing to make the smaller sacrifices. He could have avoided incarceration. I mean, he could have hidden the fact he was incarcerated because he was a priest. There were a lot of Catholic priests in the Nazi concentration camps. He could have hidden who he was and not gone. But he knew that there were people in the camp who needed Christ, who needed to be ministered to. And so rather than hide, he said, take me. And then again, when it came time for someone to lose their life for no reason, for nothing they did, just because they were picked out of the crowd, Colby again stepped up and said, take me. How often are we willing in our lives to say, take me? And you don't have to be a Franciscan priest to do that. You don't have to be an adult to do that. You can be a young person. You can easily say, you know, I have enough. I don't need more, but there are other people who need more. I'm going to help them. And there are a lot of ways you can do that. And I invite you, if you don't know what you can do in those cases, talk to your parents. They can often give you ideas of how to help out in the community. Talk to a priest, talk to a deacon. We can point you to a lot of charities in town that need your help. You know, we've got the nice weather coming. Throw on a face mask and see about you and a parent going to help at Habitat for Humanity. Build shelter for someone. I mean, that's what we're called to do. Donate clothes to someone. Bring food to someone. Visit a shut-in. There are so many ways that we can be the hands and the heart and the mouth of God, the body of Christ to other people. And he's depending on us to do that. He's depending on each of us personally to do that, to represent Christ's love to others on earth. We'll be back with more good news right after these messages.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Catholic Spirit Radio wants to be sure our listeners in Central Illinois know about our active Facebook page. Highlights from our Facebook page include Mother Angelica quotes, special Catholic Spirit Radio events, plus links to podcasts and important information. We invite all our listeners to become a follower of the Catholic Spirit Radio Facebook page because keeping in touch with you is important to us. Thank you for liking our Facebook page, listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, and spreading the word about our radio station.
And welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al Lundy. If you have a question about your Catholic faith, and it could be you want to go deeper into it, or you have concerns about it, or you don't understand a dogma, or you disagree with one of the dogmas or doctrines of the church, please write me. We would be happy to address your questions here on air. You can write to Good News at our email address of goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. And I would be happy to address your questions on air. If we have some time towards the end of this program, we've got a couple from, I was speaking to the classes at Corpus Christi, to the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and they actually have, each class has a bucket of questions that they bring out when the deacon visits. And I just stand there and I just draw questions out of the bucket and answer them. And they had some great ones. So we'll talk about, if we have some time in a little bit, we'll talk about some of those questions. I wanted to look at the readings for this weekend because they go so well with the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and that they talk about God's love. So I want to share their rather short readings. I want to look at the second reading from the Mass and the Gospel. So our second reading from the Mass comes from the letter of St. John, and it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins." And I think that's so important to understand that God's love and our love for God extends from God to us. God loves us not because of who we are or what we do or what we don't do. God loves us because of who God is, not because of who we are. God loves us because God loves us. We are his creation. And you've seen the posters, you know, God doesn't make garbage. Everything God creates is good. And we are above and beyond all of God's other creations. Scripture tells us that as he created the stars and the sun and the moon and earth and the animals, all these things he saw as good. But when he created mankind, he said, "This is very good." So we are the pinnacle of God's creations, and that's why he loves us. And he created us to be receptacles of his love. So I think that's a wonderful message, and it's short, but it is so powerful. That's from the first letter of St. John. In our gospel, also from John, he says this: "Jesus said to his disciples, 'As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I call you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you: love one another.'" You know, I've talked about this before. So many people, especially outside the Catholic Church, or even a great number of people who have left the Catholic Church, did so because all they saw were rules. They saw us as a church of rules. You have to do this, you can't do that. And it's really not the case. Jesus tells us that he gives us a very easy burden to carry. His commandment is love. That's it. His commandment is love. Love is not a burden. Love is a joy. But love, as Jesus talks about it, is a sacrificial love. Love comes from the euphoria of giving of yourself to others. There's a great feeling to that. Ask anyone who's involved in charitable work. And they'll tell you that as hard as it is, and it can be very hard, and as trying as it can be, and it can be very trying, there is a fulfillment and a joy that comes out of loving others, of self-sacrifice, of your own wants and desires, your own goods, your own resources to help others. There is a tremendous satisfaction in that. If you're feeling unfulfilled in your life, I would offer that one of the things you may be missing is love. And you think, well, nobody loves me. It's not about that. It's about you generating love for others. Because in that generation of love, you make room for God's love to inhabit you. And so there's this incredible sense of peace and joy and fulfillment that's generated by charitable work. And Jesus tried to tell us about that 2,000 years ago. And the apostles and the priests and apostles of Christ have continued to share that message for 2,000 years. And still, we have so many people who don't listen to it, who aren't hearing it. You need to open your hearts to this message that God is, if you're having trouble picturing what God is, just understand that He is pure love. That everything he does out of love for his creations, and that there's no creation he loves more than that of mankind. So, wonderful reading, very consistent message through all the readings this weekend. It's all about getting us to understand that God exists in an environment of love, that he creates that love, that it's generated from him, and that we participate in it through our choices. Especially our choice of caritas, of love for others, of being willing to give of ourselves, of sacrificing our own desires, our own resources for the good of the good of other people, out of our love for Christ. We have a few minutes. I said I had some questions from some of the classes I visited at Corpus Christi Grade School. They had some very cool ones. One of them, a few of them were very personal. As far as me and my life, also some were about the life of deacons in general, and then some were theology questions. But I thought it would be fun to share some of the personal questions that they had for me. And one of them was favorite game, hide and seek or tag. So I'd think about that for a minute. And I think at this point in my life, favorite game is Candy Crush. I'm not flexible enough to hide real well. And, you know, at my age, I'm mid-60s. I'm not a big runner. So walking fast is not a good tag strategy. So I think I have to go with Candy Crush on this one. And they seem to enjoy that that response. And there were several Candy Crush fans in the crowd as well, which I thought was very cool. One of the other questions they had was about the diaconate. How long have I been a deacon, and how long did it take to become a deacon? So I've been a deacon. It will be, when you hear this broadcast, I will be celebrating this weekend my fourth anniversary, 4 years since I've been ordained. How long did it take to become a deacon? 61 years. So officially 5 years. It's 5 years of formation, but I am who I am because of the decisions I made from the time I was in grade school. There was even a time in high school where I was considering the priesthood. And now, and this is not to slam anybody who's a counselor now. I think the counselors in schools today are much more talented than the counselors I had in school. My counselor said, "You're not smart enough to be a priest." And that kind of turned me off. And I said, "Okay, fine. Well, you're an adult, you know." So I kind of gave up on that calling. And well, shame on them and shame on me. One of the things I've learned through my formation is that God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And that's a really important lesson to learn. Don't ever say to yourself that there's something you can't do because someone else has told you you can't do it. if it's in your heart to do something, chances are God has called you to do that, especially if you've taken that calling to prayer and really listened to God's response and looked for signs of God's response. Callings come in many different sizes and shapes. And if you're called to something, God will give you the tools necessary to make that calling happen. If that's what he has planned for you, then that's the plan. And he's going to help you make that plan happen if you cooperate. So when the time came that I was invited to the diaconate, was about, I guess, that 5 years ago, it had been about 7 years ago. So, it would be more than that. 4 years now as a deacon, 5 years in formation. So there's nine. So it started about 2 years before that. So about 11 years ago, I was first invited to consider serving God's people as a deacon. And I was invited by some other deacons who, in their discernment, looking at the parish, selected men out of the parish who they thought would be good candidates. Not necessarily would reach the completion of ordination, but it would at least be good candidates that might have a calling. And I was approached by a deacon at my church and his wife to ask if there was some chance that I might be hearing a calling for the diaconate. And knowing that I had once heard a calling to the priesthood, and I had been in service all my life, in community service, I thought, this is worth looking into. And that's what started me on the road. So it was 2 years of discernment plus 5 years in formation. We don't call it education. It's formation. You don't just learn, you're changed. You are formed in the image of Christ. So 5 years of that, and now 4 years after I've been ordained. And I have to say, never been happier in my life. There's more to the story, but we don't have time to talk about it this week. But we'll talk about it another weekend. You'll hear how my wife was actually called before I was, which is really kind of interesting, and it's a beautiful story. Brings tears to my eyes every time I tell it. So thank you to the students at Corpus Christi for inviting me in. I had a wonderful time with you, and I hope to get a chance to come see you again. And thanks to all of you for listening this weekend. If you want to hear more good news, you can go to our website and look at the podcasts of our past programs at CatholicSpiritRadio.org. Until then, may Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@CatholicSpiritRadio.com. That's goodnews@CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.